If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of Islamic Laws. I'm your host, Mahdi, and we're joined by Sheikh Javid. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum salam. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, brother, for accepting our invitation. Well, dear audience, on this series of this program, we are going to talk about the Islamic rules regarding khums, according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's listen to a short biography of Ayatollah Khamenei.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Welcome back to your audience of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Laws by me, Mahdi, and our dear expert, Sheikh Javid. Well, as the first question regarding khums, we have, are gifts and Eid presents subject to Homs? Of course, according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. Well, today the first question is it permissible for a person to give money to his wife as a gift before the end of his Homs year, while knowing that his wife will save the money in order to buy a house in the future or to buy them some necessities for life?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The husband is allowed to do so, to give money to his wife and let his wife save up for the rainy day, or save the money for the needs and essentials in the future.
Isn't it a kind of escaping from
Homs? It could be, and come in some consider, you know, it is. It's kind of escaping in one sense or the other. But if it is actually considered to be a kind of Homs evasion, uh-huh. or it's a kind of religious tax evasion, you know, then evasion is not allowed, and it's not permissible for a person to evade taxes. So he should pay Homs if that is considered to be a kind of Homs evasion. Homs evasion is not permissible. Now, when it comes to the example that you gave, of course, the husband is not required to pay Homs on the gift he gives
to
his wife. On the gift, I'm using the term gift, because yes. he is gifting the money to his wife. And of course, the gift should be proportionate to his wife's social status, or to the wife's to his wife's family status, because mm-hmm. every wife has a status, and he should not gift his wife something which is beyond her status, okay, mm-hmm. Or which is not proportionate to her status, or to the status of the husband himself, and. So in this case, if the husband gives something to his wife, it's not necessary for the husband nor for the wife to give Homs from the money or from the gifted amount or from the gifted article, whatever it may be.
Uh-huh. Actually, knowing her target is not important, but making her doing something actually might cause some problem.
I didn't get you, but I
you
want
know,
to.
I give some money to my wife,
as
a gift, of course.
Yeah.
And I know what she does with it.
Yeah, okay? You're right.
Here, we have no problem. But
if I give
her some money and as a gift again, and I make her do something. This is, I think, the place where we have some problems.
I think, we discussed it, it depends largely on the donor's intention.
Uh-huh.
If the donor's intention is not to evade tax, or Homs,
uh-huh.
What we call, then Homs, he's not supposed to go and give Homs from the money he gives to his wife. But if his intention is to evade tax or Homs, then he must pay Homs from
it. Under the title of giving gift, for example.
Yeah, under the title. Okay, apparently everyone will think, okay, he's giving gifts, or he loves his wife and he gives money to his wife, and he reaches out to her and provides for her in terms of food, clothing, and other medical expenses. And also, maybe this could be the title, but that's not the case, because God is aware of the hearts and minds of the people. And if you give money to your wife with the intention to evade the Homs, of course, you are not relieved of the obligation to pay Homs. You must pay it.
Thank you, dear Sheikh Javid. Dear audience, stay tuned. We are going to be back very soon.
لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Welcome back, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Laws, and Brother Sheikh Javid is answering our questions according to the fatwas of Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, dear Sheikh, the next question is, does Khoms apply to the excess over annual expenses remaining out for the sums of the money paid by a charitable foundation to a poor family?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Generally speaking, religious authorities, with the exception of His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, maintain that if a person has
a
source of income and his source of income exceeds the annual expenses of himself and his family,
mm-hmm.
he should pay khums from the excess.
That's right.
This is
the common rule.
This is the common view or opinion held by Shiite scholars. As far as some other religious scholars, including Ayatollah Khamenei, he is of the view that the money given to a poor family or to a family affected by some disastrous or catastrophic incidents, like, for example, there is an earthquake and there is a charitable foundation that reaches out to the poor family, to the affected families.
Uh-huh.
So if that foundation hands out money or something to these affected families, now khums should be paid over the excess or not. Khums should be paid over the things which are in excess of the family's needs or not. According to His Eminence Ayatollah Khamenei, of course, khums is not paid on the excess, and the family does not have to do anything in this regard.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, dear Sheikh. Now, our next question is, is the maintenance that is paid to a person by his father, brother, or a relative considered a gift or not? If the donor has never paid khums on his assets, is it obligatory for the receiver to pay khums for the maintenance he receives from the donor?
Well, the application of the term gift or present depends on the donor's intention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your father gives you some money with the intention of gifting the money,
that's right.
So it is a gift, and according to Ayatollah Khamenei, khums is not payable on gifts, on presents, no matter how many years elapse on the gift, you still do not have to pay anything from it. But in the given case, in the example that you gave, the receiver is not required to pay its khums. You know, the donor is the father, the receiver is the son.
Yes.
And of course, the son is not supposed to pay khums from the money he receives from his father, even if his father may not have paid khums from the money or from the thing he has given to his son.
Even if he knows,
because it is the duty of his father.
Uh-huh.
He should have paid khums from the money. Now that he has given the same money to his son, of course, he is not supposed to do anything about the money. He does not have to pay khums from the money he received from his father.
Mm-hmm. Because it is considered as gift.
It is considered as a gift in the
of course,
case.
Based on the intention of the donor.
Yeah, of course. It depends on the donor's intention, yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, dear brother Sheikh Javid, for your nice answers. And thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. In case you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can follow us on social media. Just type Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, fi aman Allah and goodbye.
Rahman, Rahim, Mannan, Kareem, Salam, Alim, Majid, La ilaha illa hu, Ghaffar, Jameel, Wahhab, Latif. الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا